could.
Okay, thank you.
And can I make a comment on that? One reason that's the all the size, and I know some of you guys with those bigger budgets have to raise way, way more than that. That's because in Houston, we don't subscribe necessarily to the healthy stations, or whatever it's called, where people are paid a lot for doing programming. Most of our programming is volunteer, and I personally think that's the way it ought to be.
Okay. Thank you. All right, so we're going to move along. Let's try KPFK. That would be Michael and then John. And again, we're just looking for whatever information you have from your local process. We would like to hear how the fund drive is going. We'd like to hear about, you know, cash flow from January through May as you perceive it, and anything that you'd like to sort of highlight as being of special interest.
Michael, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can. Sorry.
Okay. We're in the midst of fund drive. We took a break for the Memorial Day weekend, so there was only a recording from the GM from Friday night through Monday night, saying that you could donate online if you wish, but we didn't have the phone room open during that period. But up until then, we were going pretty well, and I believe it was a pretty strong day today. The concern that John was talking about before we went on the stream or started the meeting is that a major issue early in the year was one of the premiums that was offered back in the fall was a pretty pricey water purification system, which brought in a lot of money but cost a tremendous amount and kind of shot the budget on development in terms of premium cost. And it was being offered again, somewhat surprisingly, this time, although we've gotten assurances from the management that we wouldn't do that again. So I did inquire by email, I haven't heard back yet, whether we got a better deal on it or it raised the thank you level, you know, the donation level for getting that as a thank you gift. I'm not sure. It was, they raised like $12,500 in an hour of offering it, but I'm not clear what the cost to the station will be yet for that. The outstanding financial issues at the station are still that the budget as passed by the NSC last year basically had cut some payroll positions. And for one reason or another, they've been adding to the payroll expenses, mostly because of negotiated agreements about both putting some of the board ops on staff as halftime and therefore into the pool of people who get benefits. And also general negotiated, you know, pay increase and benefit increase. So the concern is still there as to whether, you know, we'll end the year, you know, with a positive cash flow. The management is fairly optimistic about it. There's more skepticism from, you know, other members of the local station board. And but as I say, I think the on-air fundraising, although it's a lot of it is heavily premium-based, in terms of, you know, people, I think a lot of people who tune in think they're getting sort of infomercials for things and then respond to it on that basis as opposed to really supporting the station. But the money that continues to come in on that basis, so they're kind of wedded to it. And we did get financials. I guess the other concern was raised in the Finance Committee is that some of the, because of the way the formulas are set up from the National Office for those Excel spreadsheets that we get, some of the expenses are not reflected in terms of security insurance costs for unemployment, something like that. And so there was some desire to find ways to get that reflected more accurately into the actual cash flow at the station or the actual obligations. The other thing we're still trying to look at is to see if we can get a better handle on the people who are paying, you know, through electronic funds transfers and credit card, you know, over time to see going forward if we can get a better idea of what that looks like. which would improve the, you know, month-to-month cash flow of the situation where, you know, it's supposed to feast their family under it.
Mm-hmm.
The other item I think will come up later is the crowdfunding. We did talk about both at we did have a kind of a brainstorm session with management, staff, and LSB about our five budget priorities for next year, and John brought up the crowdfunding issue there, and then we talked about it a little further in the finance committee, but we can talk about that later.
Okay, I have some questions. John, did you want to add anything? Are you there?
Yeah. Yes, I just unmuted. I would say that I did express that concern to Michael about the water purification system, and he said that he had heard they made $12,000 in one day.
An hour.
Yeah. And so it's something that seems to be very popular. The only problem with that was that it was a very high cost item. Like Mother difficulty. So I hope that Michael can find out more information so that we can give a better report about what happened with that item. As far as the crowdfunding project, I think that the project which I recommended seems to fit all of the criteria that I had in mind, in that it is something that is outside of the normal funding of the station. It's not something that would take from the fund drive, but rather would attract people, large donors, such as George Harrison's widow and his estate, $58,000 donated, and that we could attract large donors to restore the historic Studio A, which would be a great asset to the station and would prove to be a financial boon to perhaps even reducing the fund drives. So that's my take on that.
Okay. Are there any questions for John or for Michael? I have some. Is there anyone else who wants to be on the stack? No. Okay, let me start. Okay, with the water filter, I think it's important to sort of note that the premiums for the, the first quarter of this fiscal year, which was October, November, December of 2012, had premiums of almost $250,000 just for that quarter. They were huge, so I don't think it was just one premium. I think there was something fairly seriously out of whack. That's sort of how it was explained to me. And I would say that, $12,500 in water filters in an hour is great, but that said, it wasn't, $250,000 in shipping $250,000 in premium cost just for the water filter. So when you're investigating it, I would sort of investigate, A, that particular premium, but also the whole ratio in terms of what's being ordered vis-a-vis what's being paid for and so on, because there was something pretty seriously out of whack, and we were told that it was going to get fixed and it wouldn't recur, and we don't have the numbers to kind of verify that, but it's important that it not recur. I mean, to have a $950,000 fund drive, which costs $250,000 in premiums, is not to have a $950,000 fund drive when it comes down to it, because what's left over becomes insignificant. Okay. The other thing which you brought up, Michael, had to do with last year's budget, which is, of course, this current year's budget, which is, of course, the operational budget. And I just want to kind of point out that the reason that there were some expense reductions in that budget is because when the revenue estimates were brought back to what seemed to be consistent with previous years, there wasn't enough money left over for all of the expenses that were there. Yeah.
I'm not challenging it. I'm just explaining that it hasn't been met, that goal.
Yeah.
Expense reduction has not been met. The LSB, has made some efforts at off-air fundraising and other things happening, but, that's the status quo. Those two issues are still there. We thought the one about the premiums was resolved, but apparently it's not because, I don't know, maybe they got a better deal on the water purification system, or maybe they, like I say, raised the ratio.
Prices they were charging, right. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. We don't say it's the price they were charging, but you know, that's what I mean.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll wait to find out, but thank you for making inquiries, and it does sound like we'll have to look at the budget to actuals when we get some concrete numbers and see how that's playing out. Okay. All right. So we are done. So I guess at this point, let's see. New York, Paul, is there anything that you want to add to what you said previously? Do you want to repeat any of it for the stream? Manu Jay may have something to contribute. What do you think?
Yeah, I can. Well, if you want, I can go over. There's one thing I wanted to add, but I can go over very fast and say the paid staff were, in fact, paid for the April 30th and May 15th payrolls. There is still a penalty that has to be kicked in. I'm told that they haven't been paid that yet, but they will be. The paid staff will probably be paid on Thursday, May 30th. It looks like we're going to be able to pay them, management says. BAI has currently about $11,000 in the bank. The tower rent should be paid on June 1st. And one other thing I wanted to add is WBAI has signed a lease for a place that will reunite the offices and studios of WBAI, because we have been operating in two separate locations for months now, which hasn't made things that smooth. So there is a lease. The new lease is on a floor in a building in Brooklyn, and it's $4,500 a month rent, which is a lot better than the approximately $30,000 or more rent that we were paying at 120 Wall Street. So basically, for a time, we will still be operating out of CCNY, because the general manager is insisting that WBAI gets all of the wires and cabling dropped, that is, get Verizon, our local telephone people, to put stuff in, install telephones, get the transmission lines that will go from Brooklyn to Empire in and functioning, get regular telephone lines in and all of that, and he wants all of that done before we move in. So for a while at least, we're going to stay broadcasting out of CCNY while the offices get set up in Brooklyn. Altogether, that means we'll be paying a total of about $9,500 a month rent, which is still less than one-third of what we had been paying at 120 Wall Street, which over time will mean a great deal, because you're saving like $20,000 a month doing it that way. There is also talk about possibly being able, if we can get some money together, to possibly buy the building that we're now moving into. And so that's something that's looking up. And in terms of, and I won't do one of my core dumps here. I'll just leave it at that, I think. That's about it right now.
Okay, terrific. Manajay, would you like to add anything?
No, actually, Paul covered everything. And this is really incredible news for us to be able to develop this studio. And this studio hopefully is going to be a permanent studio in this new place that would free us from the problems that BAI has had in broadcasting from CUNY, operative west side of Manhattan. We have had a lot of drops and things like that, and we are hoping that the studio would be renovated soon enough for the whole studio would be moved to the new place.
Yeah, certainly in the long run, this is very good.
Yeah, and in the short run, financially helps us, helps to reduce the cost.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, any questions for our Paul, for Manajay? Okay, then we will move to Washington to the extent that it's possible to be done. We'll start with Marcus.
Great. We just finished a approximately three-week pledge drive that had a $400,000 goal. We last checked, I tried to get some data today, and I could not. We have just completed a move, which is a great good news, but everybody's busy and things are confused. The last data I saw indicated we were well over $100,000 off of our goal, which is very disappointing.
Well,
certainly challenging for our station. So I hope to get some more information in the future and certainly be able to share that. The other important things for me are that our staff continues to be, for over 2 years, the majority of the staff continues to be at reduced salary. They're currently at 75%, and that's very disheartening that so many people have their salaries reduced. And I will say once again that I've been treasurer for approximately 18 months, and in that time there's been no substantive financial reporting from our management, and that continues. So there are many other little things, but I hope to. I'm actually very hopeful to have a new PMB membership leadership. We have a new LSB chairman. We have a CFO, and so I am very hopeful about the future of financial reporting, and hope to be able to give you guys more information in the future. Thank you.
Hi, Tony.
Yeah, I just wanted to add, yes, we were a little low. We didn't make the full goals in our pledge drives, but I believe that the supporters are still supporters of WPFW and pumped up. WPFW, I think, can sustain itself with just its members, just with what we take in. So I think I'm optimistic about what our course is and what we're doing. Of course, I would take exception to, I served as chair of the LSB for the last year, and we got monthly reporting, accurate reporting, there's been some monthly reporting here. So I would take exception to the fact that there hadn't been any substantive financial reports. Like I said, Robert West, who is he's working part-time now, but who's been the business manager, he's been in that position for well over 10 years. And served as acting general manager. So he's well aware of Pacifica and the requirements and preparing financial reports. So I think we're really in good hands with Robert. I think, once again, like I said earlier, once we get past some of the other personalities, I think we can get it all together in terms of the reporting and get WPFW. The good thing is we've settled into the temporary location. Everything is going good in terms of managing that. And so I think we just have to bring everything together and get everything. We have a finance meeting, I think, if it's confirmed next week, we'll try to wrap up all those reportings and get those financials together. But once again, I'm extremely hopeful for WPFW because the membership is pumped up, and I think because there was some lack of communication with the move, I think normally this is kind of off for us for the pledge drive, but I think we can make up for that. We have very loyal supporters. That's one thing I can say. The members they support the station. So I'm optimistic about WPFW.
Okay, we will take questions or comments for Tony and Marcus, and I have one. Is there anyone else who wants to go? No, it's quiet. Okay, well, my comment is simply this, which I've already said, and I'm going to say it one more time. We really attempt on the stream not to put out descriptive adjectives about staffers who work for us financially. This includes business managers, and it includes both, pejoratives and positive compliments. It simply is not correct to talk about people in the third person in quite that way in what is basically a public forum, or to engage in sort of impromptu performance evaluations. So I would ask, I know that we're a small family and we fight and all the rest of it, but I would ask that we not get into bringing out individuals' names and saying positive or negative things about the job performance on this call. I don't think it's appropriate. Okay? And that was with regard to the WPFW business manager who came up frequently on both sides. It's not appropriate either way, although obviously positive is less upsetting to people. I just don't think that that's territory that we should walk into. Okay.
If I can respond.
You can.
Just to say I agree with that 100%, but sometimes when the other comes out, you have to counter it to try to put the make the record correct. But I agree with what you're saying 100%. And I agree with Richard. I think the listeners and the members don't really want to hear all of that. They're really concerned about good radio. So I would support both of those statements.
Okay. Thanks, Tony. It's a bit of a chicken and egg thing, I know. But to the extent possible, I think it's a good practice. Okay. So that brings us to KPFA. So Barbara will start.
Well, we did not make our goal, but we were, the last I heard, behind about $40,000. And I have not heard if there has been any change in that in the last few days. Typically, programmers are announcing, you know, you can still go online and donate, and there would be some funds coming in that way. There was a tremendous push at the end. It was kind of scary for a while. An event we had in the since our last finance committee meeting was that our business manager's computer died. So she had some scrambling to do for a while, but as I understand it, I think it is replaced or nearly, and she's luckily has a computer at home that she has the work on also, and so we didn't lose things. But just another little setback. We've been planning for this reception that's going to happen on Friday. I guess you've all gotten some sort of a notice if you're for people attending the I always forget the name of this group, the National Something Broadcasters.
NFCB, yeah, the Federation of Community Broadcasters.
Federation, right, okay. And so there will be festivities at KPFA on Friday evening. And as far as our bank balance, it's currently a little over $300,000in the bank. So that came up considerably since the last report.
Okay. Are you done?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. What do I have to add? So the goal for this fund drive was a little unclear to me. When I heard it at the LSB meeting, I think it was 750 or 760, and I think it slipped a little bit since then. So I'm not sure exactly. Yeah, so I'm not sure exactly how much we missed the goal by, but it's in the vicinity of $40,000 to $50,000 to $60,000, depending which of those numbers is final. When I went and took a look at the budgets, the goal was supposed to be 725. So I guess you can say that we missed the bottom line goal by about 25,000. And then the whatever extra was kind of, you know, popped on top of that. What else do I want to say?
Can I make a comment about that changing goal?
Sure.
What I heard, anyway.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And that was that we, of course, estimate how much of the income gets recorded in the phone room that actually is for KPFK and doesn't really go through our books. And once people realized that no KPFK income was relevant for, I don't know exactly how many, but a few initial days. They then lessened the overall goal that we were looking for, comparable to whatever that would have been. And as far as the beginning figure, I know it was 757,000, and some people always like to round up stuff, so that's how it became 760. But in fact, as I say, after the staff realized that there was no implications with KBFK income for the first, it might have even been the whole week, I'm not sure, that's when the goal became a little less.
I don't actually understand what you just said. I think I missed something.
When the figure is set during the time of going through the assumptions and planning all the days of the year and how much income is needed and how many fundraising days in each drive and so on.
Yes.
It's estimated based on past experience that when calls come in to the Berkeley location that are listeners or from listeners in the Los Angeles area, the cards are filled out just the same, but in fact they are forwarded to KPFK.
Yes.
And those figures don't, although they are keeping track of all the calls in the phone room just so people can see what we're, you know, accomplishing, that's not the final record. And
that's your chalkboard figure, and then 6% is subtracted for LA and 6% is subtracted for Fresno. That's all
estimate.
That's all laid out in the budget, and then we try to figure out if those numbers cohere and if the estimated percentage was correct. So are you saying that the chalkboard total was $699 for the fund drive?
No.
Or the non-chalkboard total?
I don't know what it was. I only heard that once the staff realized there was no KPFK fundraising going on in the beginning of our period, that's when they lessened the overall total, and I don't know how much they lessened it. I just know that they did. Something comparable to the number of days.
Okay, well, since that money never runs through KPFA's books anyway, I'm not sure that quite works to lower the goal, but okay, all right, whatever. All right, so that explains that. It was a misunderstanding about the KPFK money.
Well, I think the staff understands what it is, and you're saying it doesn't go through our books, but in fact, people, they are adding up the cards as they come in, whether or not it's a Los Angeles zip code, you know. So the zip code separation happens when the cards go into the data center room where stuff is either entered into our database or gathered up to be forwarded to KPFK.
Yeah, there are some problems with how this is done in terms of financial reporting.
I think the staff is doing pretty well with handling this.
Barbara, they've made some improvements recently. Barbara, what I'm saying is that it makes the pledge drive totals and the pledge drive actuals, the amount of money that stays at KPFA, very complicated, and it creates problems where there's different figures bouncing around because we also have to deal with the Fresno pledges, which do go through the books and then are batted out the other side as an accounts payable. So we're talking about 10% of our chalkboard totals not being KPFA's money, and I think that continues to create some confusion. That's what I'm saying. And that's why we have different fund drive totals and something about this often results in many different sets of numbers being thrown around. That's what I'm saying. And it would be easier if we had, you know, concrete numbers rather than moving targets. Okay. Are there any questions about KPFA?
Michael, is that?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, good. So I'm just trying to be clear. Basically, we postponed, KPFK postponed the start of its fund drive. So you're saying that you had some other calculation for the early part of your fund drive, which, I mean, the two shows that we carry are the news and Mitch Jesvers' Letters in Politics. And my impression was that whether we're in fund drive or not, those shows are raising funds, and then they give out the 800 number from AKPFK, so to speak. Is that not the case? So is that not the case this time? I can't remember exactly when I caught.
I know a little. Can I answer that, Tracy?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I heard that Mitch Jesvers actually produced two versions of his program during the period of time that our fund drive started, but KPFK's had not yet, so that there were no confusing pleas in his programming that went to KPFK. I don't know exactly how he adjusted it, whether there was time for a music break, or I don't know what they did, but in fact there was supposed to be no duplication at that point.
Okay, good.
And I don't know the latest about the news, except that in past fund drives I have heard that the news reporters themselves announce that KPFK was not in fund drive yet, but KPFA, as they made their short pitch. So
yeah,
I don't.
We've been doing a cutaway actually for
right.
a while
okay.
now.
Right. Okay. So
maybe,
so we've.
Maybe that gives them an opportunity.
This, it sounds like yeah. this is what I was referring to of the staff making adjustments so that it isn't confusing to the listeners in Los Angeles area if our fund drive is started already.
Right. Yeah,
John,
right.
Zach, please.
Okay, John, go ahead.
I would just say that I noted that the amount that came from the news as reported in this recent fund drive was anything from $0 to $450. So it didn't right. seem to be substantial.
In the current KPK part of the fund drive, yeah.
Yeah. That sounds about right. Okay. All right. Well, we will leave it there, I guess. This will come up again during the syndicated conversation, so maybe best to kind of kick it over there. Okay. Thanks, everyone. I think given what we had to work with, there was some good information there about stuff to watch out for and potential problems, so good. We don't really have anything in particular to do regarding the audit update. It's the same as it was before, which is that the prep work is basically completed. The audit should be getting underway. There's a 6:30 deadline, so they're going to have to hustle. But we have a good accounting firm this year. They're new. Armanino McKenna is the name. And they understand what the deadline is for 6:30. So that's pretty much that. And the audit committee, I believe, is meeting right now, is meeting the same time that we're meeting. So if folks are interested, they can pull up the stream of the audit committee meetings and get an update there. Okay, and the streams can be found on kpftx.org. Okay, so the next item that we have is one of the things that we had talked about during our first meeting where we kind of tried to put together an agenda for some work to do prior to the budget season getting underway. And actually, we are going to have to do a budget check-in. As I recall, someone had asked me to put that on the agenda, and I forgot, and we all forgot when we approved the agenda, so we will do that at the end of the meeting, if that's okay, as an impromptu add-on. But the next item that we have to deal with is this crowdfunding sort of idea, just to basically reiterate, the idea was that each station would come up with a sort of outside of the budget project, maybe something that they had hoped to put some funds in the budget for but didn't have quite enough funds to kind of do that, or any good ideas that have come along or wish list type of things and that we would attempt to get a sort of a crowdfunding portal set up on pacifica.org to kind of support these individual station projects, with the idea that we could reach out to some folks that we're not reaching with our current on-air pledge drives and maybe interest them in a couple of these projects or bring them in, and that we would also experiment with some of the crowdfunding portals like Kickstarter or Indiegogo or whatever is appropriate for the particular projects, and kind of get our feet wet a bit in sort of how that's done. And we thought that as a finance committee, that would be a good contribution to sort of, you know, try to stretch organizational development capacity, because all that we ever talk about is how the pledge drive model needs some amplification, and we need to figure out some ways to do off-air fundraising that's more robust. So with that, we have a project that's been brought forward by KPFK, which excitingly already has some initial funding, which is wonderful, and I'll let John talk about that a bit. And then the question is, have any of the rest of you done any of this with your local stations? Do you have any ideas? What's the process? When can we expect something? In the case of WBAI, and to some extent WPFW, I understand that the turmoil makes it hard. I would hope that in a way this could be something that could be cooperative with some of your current turmoil. But basically, we're still hoping that you can find a way to do this that doesn't take too much energy away from what you're currently dealing with. So I'm gonna let John start with KPFK, because they seem to have done the most work on this so far, and then we'll go to everybody else for kind of an update. Yes, Barbara.
Okay. Thank you, Tracy. Basically, the project that I had in mind was actually right there at KPFK, and it was amazing that so much work had been done, and on such an important issue, because the Studio A is a historic station asset that has not been used as a proper recording studio. It was it's currently used as the phone room, and there's significant work that needs to be done in order to bring it up to par. But apparently, according to our music director, Maggie LaPeak, there is great interest in the Los Angeles area in people wanting to be in that room, because it's extraordinary space. And it is it houses a piano that was given to the station by one of the Beach Boys, and has been there for a long time and is sometimes played. And it has a lot of significance in terms of performances that have occurred there, but with a live state-of-the-art studio, it will definitely attract people from all over who want to be there, and it would also be something that would be likely to attract large donors. For example, I spoke with Bernard Duncan, who is the general manager, and mentioned, well, George Jackson's widow gave $58,000. If Mick Jagger heard about it, he said, yeah, he might give $100,000. And that's exactly what we're looking at, people who might not want to contribute to an ordinary fund drive would be very interested in contributing to a major project like that. So that's basically the information I have, and I think that there is something already available for posting on our Pacifica website that looks quite attractive and may provide some incentive for other stations to look for similar projects that would be off the grid but would also contribute to the well-being of the station and to Pacifica as a whole.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, that sounds great. I'm told that we'll be getting something from Ursula and the Philip, probably something from the archives. So what do the rest of you sort of have in mind, if anything?
Jim.
Okay, Jim. Yeah, go ahead.
What about me? What about I thought I was on the stack.
Okay. Jim, do you mind if Barbara goes in front of you?
In second.
Okay.
I'm not stepping in to talk about a project. I really wanted to understand better what this crowdfunding is, like new jargon to me. And I think I'm getting the picture. The idea is all of the stations advertising together on the Pacifica website. Is that the thing that makes it a crowdfunding item?
No, we would be putting some stuff up on the Pacifica website, but basically crowdfunding is a name for computer platforms that are set up. Kickstarter is the most famous of them, that basically Kickstarter.
Kickstarter, okay.
And they bring together groups of people who are looking for interesting projects to fund and present basically a large menu of projects with certain parameters to get approved, and a sort of a consistent platform. And basically you can browse from project to project with the idea that people go there with maybe $100 or $50 that they want to donate, and they split it up amongst a number of projects based on what interests them. Okay. And the idea would be that we would have a couple of things out there to be a part of these menus, and that we might draw some people into our atmosphere who haven't been there before.
Okay, thanks.
Michael, do the second.
Okay. I think we had Jim next, so why don't we go to Jim, then I'll go to you, Michael.
Okay, KPFT, the majority of our committees meet the first week of the month, so I'm going to hit the Bucko in the first week of May. One thing that we were tossing around was just the presentation is more important in many cases than actually what you're trying to get. And we're doing the capital campaign for the transmitter, but that's pretty boring stuff. And we're asking for a lot of money. And so, you know, one option would be to go after some sort of a smaller amount than the $200,000 we're looking for. And if it's some way to kind of spruce up a presentation and ask for, you know, $20,000-$30,000 as a starter for the transmitter fund, that may be one option. A lot of the people that I talked to were not real Kickstarter savvy, and you know, it's I think it's more than putting a bunch of stuff in your front yard and putting tags on them and selling them. And we're hoping we're going to get to, you know, some people that are more oriented towards how to put together a good presentation on Kickstarter that may get some interest up to cover it, because I think putting up a paragraph saying give us some money for a transmitter just won't cut it.
Yeah.
And it may take some you know, some people that are more oriented towards marketing to do that, or people from the other stations that have more experience in Kickstarter presentations.
Yes, I totally agree. I'm just going to put out that we don't need to do the cart before the horse, and that the first thing here that you have to do is settle on the project and find what the need is, and get some, you know, starter text put together, and then, yes, it will need to be polished, no doubt about it. And there are tips and tricks around Kickstarter that we'll have to look at. But first, we have to identify what it is, and we have to get some basic parameters about, you know, how much are we trying to get, and what's it about. So start there, and if you can get agreement on that, then, yes, all the other points are valid. And part of what we're trying to do is, you know, develop a little bit of, you know, trial and error about how to do stuff like this, so we build up some organizational knowledge about some of these platforms and how they work and how to interact with them. You know, it's going to be a question of learning and trial and error and doing some things well and some things not so well. But you sort of have to get your feet wet, or or your feet aren't wet.
So we'll get our
okay. So after Jim, we had Michael. Michael, go ahead.
I guess I wanted to try to get some more clarity on this or put some ideas out. Typically you would not use something like Kickstarter for a capital campaign. It's not the appropriate mechanism. Kickstarter and Indiegogo and a lot of the things are typically used for a project that is often creative in the nature that needs like seed money to get it to happen. So people who want to publish a book or put out music or film. And most campaigns that I've seen, it's set up so that you make a pledge, which only comes due if you hit the target goal of the entire campaign. And so you want to set a goal that's reasonable. So the Studio A, I mean, the budget people are kicking out of the space was like $500,000. I don't think that's really, that's a different campaign than typically is Kickstarter or crowdfunding. You're talking about a separate, a kind of capital campaign, which is a different creature. So there was some, I'm not sure what discussion John has had further with Bernard Duncan, but when we raised it at both the brainstorm session we had with management staff and LSB, and then also somewhat at the finance committee meeting, I got some skepticism about whether Studio A was the project that was highest on the priority list for the station as a whole. There was also some skepticism from the past treasurer, who is now the chair of the finance committee, about the general question that we keep using the term off the grid, which apparently is supposed to mean off budget, and a lot of concern about having off budget items when it's not clear if we can stick to our budget. So I just want to throw that into the mix of things that we're thinking about. If you're trying to shape a project for Indiegogo or Kickstarter, typically it's a finite project with a somewhat modest financial goal that you think you're going to actually meet. People make donations, and typically they get rewarded out of it, because if you're putting in money to make sure a book gets published, you get a signed copy of the book or something along those lines. So if people are talking about a major capital improvement station, I don't think that's a Kickstarter type project.
Let me address a couple of things there. I do think that you need to set a manageable goal, and it's also true that the crowdfunding platform aspects, and doesn't have to be Kickstarter, there's Starts of Good, there's about 7 of these entities, and we can pick the right one. But the crowdfunding part can be a portion of a larger project. I think that's fine. In terms of whether or not you can do a capital campaign this way, well, people have. For example, Awaken Cafe in Oakland raised $170,000 to redo themselves and reopen, and it was a capital campaign, and they raised that money. So I think, in all honesty, we should understand that this is a moving target. Things are changing. People are doing all kinds of things. The actor Zach Braff just raised $2 million on Kickstarter for a film.
Okay.
And it was a $6 million budget on the film, and he raised $2 million of it on Kickstarter. I'm not saying we're going to have that kind of success. I don't actually think so. But I do think that as these platforms start to change, it's important, A, to get our name out there, and B, to start to develop some internal capacity amongst all of us in this family to be able to kind of work with these platforms, so that we're not talking about hearsay, we're talking about, hands-on experience. So that's what I'm hoping to get out of it. So I hear you, and I think that we do have to pay some attention to how we're crafting this, as Jim put out and as you're putting out, because you want to have some level of success if possible. I know that Brian DeShazer from the archives dipped in, which was good and brave of him, and he didn't get the results that he was looking for. And I think he's someone that we'll want to talk to, but I think more is good and less is better, because we'll get better at it as we keep doing it, is my sense. So for what it's worth, I'm going to put out there that I think developing this capacity and doing some trial and error is a good thing for us to do.
Barbara, with a question.
Okay. We need to get to the East Coast stations and to KPFA. So Barbara, go ahead.
Well, once you put a project up on one of these websites or whatever it is, does it stay for, I mean, is it a time-limited thing?
Yes. It's a time-limited thing for a period of time. It's generally in the 60 to 90-day range. There are sometimes some scenarios where it's flexible. It varies from platform to platform. You can always take a second try at it, but it is for a discrete period of time. Of course, on our own website, it can stay up forever.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But the idea is you want it to go viral. You want people to tell their friends that, oh, this is a great project that you can contribute to by going to, you know, Indiegogo or Kickstarter and putting some money into it.
Okay. In a perfect world, yes, ideally. We'll see. Okay, so we have three stations left to hear from.
Richard, to the sack on that earlier topic, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
May I speak? I think that the fundraising ideas you guys are talking about are interesting and exciting. I think that it would help them all to make them as broad-based as possible to involve not just one or two programmers or something, but of all ages and all ethnic groups and all racial groups, get everybody involved and get everybody talking about it in a way that is unique to those particular programs' listeners. And if you're doing something like the idea of refurbishing the studio at A, which is a wonderful idea too, I think if you could figure out some way to let people of different ages, and by that I mostly mean young people, go in and use the studio and make their request or whatever from the studio and say, you know, this is our generation and we're coming in and we need this to, for the future, et cetera. So that we're a little bit more dynamic than we have been. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a good suggestion. Okay, so let's see. I don't want to spend too much more time on it. I just want to see where we are at the three stations that haven't weighed in. It sounds like Texas and LA have at least some ideas that they're batting around. Washington, any ideas? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, Tony.
I didn't know if Marcus was still. I would let him go if he's still on the line. Guess not.
Marcus, are you here? Don't sound like it. So go ahead.
You're asking for us to respond to our fundraising ideas or these particular things that you just talked about?
I'm asking you to respond to this particular parameter in terms of how you might like to participate in this project. And I don't think in any way this is meant to obscure from any fundraising that is going on independently at EFW. But if it fits in with something that you're already working on, that's great. Or if there's some other need that you have that your current fundraising isn't addressing, this could be something that, you know, could be an extra tool.
Well, I think definitely. I think it's something that we can look into fitting in. We have a couple of ideas that we're batting. When I say we, the LSB and our committees to get started on fundraising concepts. So I think it's something that we can incorporate in some of the things that we have already we're looking into. Normally we, around, I guess, October, we have a U Street Jam, or November, I'm sorry. That's a successful fundraising activity, and we may have some other separate activities before that. And I don't really think that I'm doing fundraising activities, the things that are going on here would interfere with a lot of that, to be honest with you, because I think most people, even though they may disagree, everybody tend to come together when it comes to fundraising, for the most part, generally, now with the special fundraising activities. So I don't think we'd have a lot of opposition to that.
Yeah. I don't see, I don't see why we should. So, okay, so we will wait to hear from you about sort of what project you think would make sense for PFW in this context.
Sure. So okay. I think we come together on fundraising and trying to raise money.
Yep.
Because if everybody knows the bottom line is it's for the, you know, it's for the good of the station. It's the survival of the station.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
This is Marcus. I'm sorry, I cut off. I need to get up to speed on this, so I'll have more to say about it next time. But obviously, any fundraising is good fundraising.
Absolutely. That's kind of where we're trying to go with this. Okay, so
right.
Give some thought to what kind of need or project PFW might want to throw into the pile.
We'll do.
And we'll get an update from you next time. I'll sort of venture into BAI with the usual disclaimers of I understand the level of stuff that's going on and the amount of headspace is probably kind of limited for this, but what do the two folks from BAI think?
Our Paul can go first, maybe?
Go ahead.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, I've thought about this, and first of all, yeah, I mean, we're, we're in this lifeboat in the middle of the Atlantic. The waves are pretty high, and it would be nice if we could get a thermos of something warm to drink in there, but right now, let's try not to sink. I haven't given a ton of thought to this, but what I have thought of was, my initial thought was, we're always having problems with equipment, maybe, and we complain about it on the air a lot, because it cracks out in the middle of things. Maybe we could have, my first thought was we could have something like, get a CD player that works right. But then I thought,
yeah.
Well, no, the better thing is, get a suite of, ordinary studio equipment, because like one CD thing would be like $400. But how about we think of getting a suite of equipment? I don't know exactly what we'd settle on. We'd have to deal with the engineers, or we'd have to talk about it and all that. But something that might be on the order of like $5,000 to $10,000 worth of stuff, and say PAI needs a suite of and. The stuff we need that people will understand. I mean, if we start telling them we need interocitors, that ain't going to work. But if they'll understand CD players and various computer things to play stuff, WBAI right now, the computer in Master Control, is a Macintosh that's running Windows 8.
Yeah.
Oh, complications ensue. There are things we could spend some money on that would make broadcasting easier and sound better and prevent a lot of us from being very angry on the air. So that's my thought. We haven't been able to broach any of this. The finance committee consists mostly of people yelling at the general manager as he's providing information, and they yell at him that he's not providing the information he just told them 10 minutes ago. And the LSP meetings can get pretty badly disrupted at times. So at some point, I'm going to see if I can bring this up somewhere and see what we can do. But I have to say it's not the number one white-knuckle priority that some other things are.
Yeah. Okay. That sounds reasonably fair under the circumstances. And Manajay?
Yeah, there have been number of ideas by different people, just talking have been going around, but we have been in such a difficult situation. And also because the station has had bad experiences with different varieties of people in this media environment that is New York, that there are people that they would have been helping BAI, but because of basically problem management of BAI for a long, long time, many people have stopped communicating. And even when people approach them, they have been saying, they are giving their resources and services to other places like NYC, for example, National New York Public Radio, that they say we give it to them, but we won't give it to BAI. So we have, BAI has to do a lot of repairing of damages has been done over the time to be able to cultivate and get the funding that it needs in many, many, all areas, both in material that it needs and also funding that it needs. BAI has not done a lot of things that could have done from, for example, in the city. One of the things that I've been talking about for some time is that the fact that BAI has been for 52 years in New York and has contributed both in terms of programming, employment, training of many of prominent, you know, broadcasters and radio people in the, for the country, has not benefited, has not got any help from the city at all. That's one of the first things that we need to do that we haven't done. So all of these things have been talked about around, but with this crisis that we have been having and also this fundraising period, we have not, our fundraising have been really lagging behind. And I don't know how much, we haven't got the numbers to what has happened so far. But so we are many things, I am hoping and I'm thinking that many things could come together when we have a little bit of stability and new ideas and works are being done to repair some of the old damage and also develop some funding sources and listeners, particularly, that we have been losing also listeners, particularly to get to be able to bring the station back. And I'm hoping, and with some, I have some hope for it. And I'm keeping my fingers crossed. So that's where we are.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right. Well, let's try to get this finished up because we got a little more to do and it's getting late. Barbara, KPFA, I guess the LSB hasn't dealt with this yet, so hopefully it will at the upcoming meeting?
No, we haven't. Mm-hmm. And yes, we'll put it on the agenda.
Okay, great. All right, so...
Actually, I was thinking of a report, having it be part of the treasurer's report. I felt incompetent to explain the thing. Now I have a better picture, so I think that's the way we'll do it.
Okay. All right, so I think it's a little early to get into mechanics here, but people brought up some good points, which we will have to take into account. Kudos for KPFK for being out there in front. And And I'm hoping that in 2 weeks we'll be a little further along with each station having a project identified. Okay. So with that, we have two more items. And because it's kind of late, I think if no one minds, we're going to flip the agenda slightly. And let's just talk about the budget processes. In theory, we're supposed to have first drafts of the budget to the LSBs right about now. I'm guessing that's not going on at most stations, but it would be helpful to find out where the process is at. So if we could just go around a little. Barbara, why don't you start, and we'll just go geographically from the west to the east.
Well, our routine for working on this since I've been treasurer was to have ad hoc meetings, and we have not, we don't have a budget committee, so to speak. Although there are people on the staff who typically, you know, get involved in this whole business. For instance, with the speculation about how many fundraising days are needed and all the initial drawing up of that kind of revenue expectations. But the business manager has started interviewing staff, and one of the startling things we've found is that it's time for our transmitter tower to be painted. And this happens every so many years. I forget how many it is. And it must be done before there's a big inspection that's due also soon. And this is going to be over $20,000 job. So this is the first big eye-opening item we've found by the beginning conversations that we're having. And I don't have anything more to report than that.
Los Angeles?